Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Of Life Radio, where we all know that the leftists are conniving and deceitful, but nonetheless, they barely even try to hide their efforts to deprive us of our personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am your host, the Chief, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, where I am still practicing my self-isolation and quarantine, which is no big deal for me, seeing as how, when you consider the sorts of people that live around Portland, I've been doing this isolation for quite a while. But nonetheless, okay. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, I want to start out with something. It's not in the show notes, but it's a little kind of personal thing to me. So, you know, as you know, I refer to myself as the Chief, because I'm a retired Navy Chief Petty Officer, and back in the day, that's how people knew me. That's how they addressed me. But I, for a long time, I'd been, you know, using the joke that in calling myself Chief, I wasn't going full Elizabeth Warren, because unlike the senator from Massachusetts, I actually earned the right to use that title. But, see, Liz pretending to be a Cherokee, now that's right now a little less relevant than it was, you know, than it used to be. I mean, since she's no longer pretending to be a presidential candidate or anything like that. But now I'm finding myself in a similar situation with somebody who is still pretending to be a presidential candidate, although things that have come out in the last week or so may sort of put a damper on that, but okay. It seems that recently Joe Biden made the claim that when he left the Senate, he taught at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, we all know Joe's not too sharp, but seemed kind of weird that he would have forgotten that when he left the Senate, he became vice president. But okay, come on, we can understand that, because there's a whole lot of us that would like to forget the Obama administration, so okay. But it seems that he also forgot that he never taught at Penn. Now, in fairness to the former vice president, I did hear that he was given some honorary title, professor or something or other at Penn, but he never taught a class there, and he doesn't have much class anyway. But okay. Now, you ask, why is this a matter of concern to me, your humble host, personally. Well, you see, unlike Gropey Joe, I actually did teach at the University of Pennsylvania. Now, in the totality of everything, not as impressive as it might sound, that was my last job in the Navy. I was assigned to the ROTC unit there, and my name did appear in the university directory. I think my title was something like Assistant Instructor of Naval Science or something like that. But I did actually teach an accredited class at the University of Pennsylvania. I think it was like Naval Science 301, something like that. It was navigation, what the Navy used to do, because the tradition was naval officers were supposed to understand navigation, and that was sort of an officer's job. But like a whole lot of other things, the nuts and bolts work of it was done by enlisted people, and that was my specialty. And, you know, so I knew a whole lot more about it than any officer they were likely to find to teach that class. So it was a tradition that they had a chief quartermaster assigned to these units to teach that class. And I did it. Now, it was mostly taught to midshipmen and, you know, who really weren't all that interested. But I did have a couple other people because it was an actual accredited class at the University of Pennsylvania. In fact, actually, the best student I ever had was someone who had nothing to do with the Navy. It was some guy from France or something that was attending the school and was interested in the subject, and he did really well. But, okay, I guess I just bring this up because maybe I'm just getting tired of these Democrat presidential candidates, you know, wishing they were me. Yeah, okay. Enough about that. Now, so I wanted to talk about mainly a couple things today. I wanted to talk about Trump derangement syndrome. We're all familiar with that. The Democrats and the mainstream media, yes, I know that's a little redundant, they will attack him at any time, all the time, for any reason, for no reason. It's just playing politics. But a few days ago, I saw this article. It was published in The Atlantic. Yes, I actually read some stuff from some of these sites, you know, so I pay attention to this so that you don't have to. And this was an article written by somebody named Peter Wenner, something like that. And he was writing about, what was the title of the article here? The President is Trapped. And he was writing about how poorly suited Donald Trump is to be handling the current coronavirus crisis. And he went through kind of the usual laundry list, and something occurred to me while I was reading this, because I read a lot of similar articles, you know, you probably have too, and I notice that they all have a few things in common. Doesn't matter. Whenever they're attacking the president on, you know, how he's doing his job, his fitness for the job, all that sort of thing, they just sort of state as an article of faith, as a matter of fact, It's something that doesn't have to be further explained, proven, or anything like that. It's just, well, everybody knows that Donald Trump is dumb. He's evil. He's incompetent. And then, you know, the attack, like in this article I'm referring to today, although most of them are pretty similar, they go on to explain why these problems are going to hurt the country because he can't handle the job and he's not suited and all this. And they very seldom even attempt to explain how they've determined that he is dumb, evil, and incompetent. And you know what I've noticed? See, there's something all these articles seem to have in common. I mean, every one of them. Every one of these articles was written by somebody who is exponentially less accomplished than Donald Trump. I mean, Trump is a guy who became a billionaire. I mean, he started out rich, but not nearly that rich. Built these skyscrapers, hotels. He is a master of branding. I mean, for a guy who is a real estate developer, he was known all over the world, everybody. I mean, if you saw Donald Trump, you knew who you were looking at. In fact, back when I was teaching at the University of Pennsylvania, part of my job put me in a place where I actually did see Donald Trump. And he was walking by and, whoa, that's Donald Trump. I mean, he wasn't a TV star. He wasn't a president. He wasn't a... But he was one of the most famous people in the world. I mean, that's something of an accomplishment. And yes, he managed to get elected president. And yet guys like Peter Winter are saying, well, he's just not up to the job because he doesn't know how to do anything. And his, you know, egotism and narcissism just... it's all about him, and he can't handle it because of that. And, okay, sure, he's got a huge ego, but name me a president who didn't have a huge ego. It's kind of a prerequisite for the job. I mean, the closest I can ever remember to somebody who didn't seem to have that much of an ego was Jimmy Carter, and we know how well that went. But even so, anybody who thinks they can be president obviously has a huge ego. But, you know, these guys who write these articles, what are their accomplishments? They wrote some articles. That's it. They called Donald Trump dumb. I mean, listen, it's okay to disagree with the president. I disagree with him on some issues. I agree with him on others. I agreed with Obama on some issues, and I disagreed with him on a lot. But I never questioned his intelligence. I mean, if you're an incompetent dummy, you're not going to become president. Unless your name is Joe Biden, and there's just sort of... But, you know, I'm not even going to question Joe Biden's intelligence because I assume he used to have some at some point in time just to have gotten where he got. But look at where Donald Trump is. Look what he's done over the decades. Peter Winter and all you other people who write these articles, when you've done a tenth of that, maybe I'll take you a little bit seriously. Okay. Moving right along. Let me see. I guess right now I'll just say a little hi to some of the people I see listening live. Got Crazy Cajun, Annie from Southern Sense Talk Radio, who you can hear Friday at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern, blah, 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 whenever it is. Tim Tapp, who will be coming on here at Blog Talk Radio, Tap Into the Truth, in about 45 minutes from now. And Vorpalbyte has just joined us, the inhabitant of many a chat room, always has some interesting things to say. He, like me, is not burdened with the ability to think like a normal human being. And that is a great segue to the next thing I want to talk about. Because since I can't think like a normal human being, I'll say some crazy things from time to time. And here's something I have been saying for months. I don't know if I've ever even brought this up here on this show, but I know I've mentioned it on, you know, some other shows I've called into. I think I've mentioned it maybe on George Sinzer's show. I call into there now and then. I know specifically I mentioned it on Tim Tapp's show when I was calling there. And, of course, those eminent radio hosts told me I was completely crazy. Okay, I never disagree with anyone who calls me crazy, but what I've been saying is I'm just wondering, what is Nancy Pelosi up to? Now, I don't know, but I had suggested that I think maybe she is planning to retire, not run for re-election. Now, okay, that may sound crazy to you, but you know, the more I think about it, the less crazy it sounds, and the signs are there. Now, what really got me to thinking about this yet again, well, it's just something that one of the 17 voices in my head is, you know, mentions from time to time. But a few days ago, I saw something, you know, came across the interwebs, and it's kind of along that line. Now, this was not the most reliable source. It was some blog that's, you know, with some stupid banner, and I don't know. Like I say, not your most reliable source. So I would suggest that you take this with more grains of salt than you're likely to find on the shore of the Dead Sea. But what was reported here was that Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Tim is claiming that he didn't call me crazy. Well, not crazy. He disagreed with me, and this was from one of my appearances on his show several months ago. But, okay. It seems that somebody had some contact with Nancy Pelosi's daughter. I believe it was like at a party in Los Angeles. And I'm not sure. It was a while back. This article, I think, was posted in January or February. And I think this party allegedly happened like in December or something like that. I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But it was reported that Nancy Pelosi's daughter had said that Nancy had already made the decision that she was not going to seek re-election, going to call it a career. And like I said, I've been suggesting, months before this alleged party allegedly happened, I had suggested that because to me, it makes sense. I mean, why would this not be the perfect time for her to retire? I mean, There's just lots of reasons. Okay, number one, reason number one why it's the perfect time for her to retire is, let's face it, the woman is so old that when she finally stops breathing, her autopsy will have to be done by a paleontologist. Yeah. But nonetheless, during her many decades in public life, she has accomplished, I mean, more than almost anybody. Now, okay, if you care about identity politics, I don't care about identity politics, but people on the left really care about that. Nancy Pelosi was the first female Speaker of the House back in 2007. Now, anytime you're first at anything, that's something that can never be taken away from you. I mean, Jackie Robinson will always be the first black guy to play in Major League Baseball. Why that's a big deal? Well, it shouldn't be. He was a great player. He deserved to be there. Color of his skin's irrelevant. But, you know, he got in there and he opened the door for a whole lot of other great players. He was the first. That could never be taken away from him. Nancy Pelosi will always be the first Speaker of the House, the first female Speaker of the House, just like Sandra Day O'Connor will always be the first Supreme Court justice who was a female. Now, Nancy Pelosi is unlikely to ever get any higher than that, but hey, it's like the number three person in the government of the United States. That's a pretty good thing. That's good thing to end your career on if that's what happens. But consider this. She may lose, you know, the Democrats may lose the House in November. I don't know if that for sure, but why risk it? Why not quit while you're on top? You know, like Paul Ryan. He saw the writing on the wall. He quit while he was ahead. And consider Nancy Pelosi already lost the House once, made it back. I doubt that should the Democrats lose the House in November and Nancy Pelosi does get reelected, well, obviously she's not going to be Speaker, but I doubt if she – I think they would find somebody else to be minority leader. Why should she take the demotion? She can quit while she's ahead. So I've mentioned some reasons why it would make sense for her to want to pack it in at this time. But other than some bizarre blog post, are there any real signs that that's what she's doing? Just look at what she's been doing over the last few months. These seem to be, at least as far as I can see, these seem to be the actions of someone who is planning, you know, on the way out and knows it. I mean, the way she was caving to the squad demands. She knew that the impeachment of President Trump was, you know, was dead on arrival. It was all for show. But the squad and the leftists, they demanded that the show must go on. And she played along with it, even though she'd said, you know, for months before that, that it was not a good idea. But she sees the far left, the squad, these snotty-nosed upstarts taking over her party. Now, she could stay and fight, but, you know, channeling Sun Tzu, you won't lose a battle that you never fight. She's a winner. She can go out as a winner. And I mean, then we look at the coronavirus relief package. Oh, she came in from San Francisco with her list of crazy demands and all that sort of thing. And why? Maybe she was trying to just help out her friends as she was leaving. You know, she likes to go to the Kennedy Center or have that available. And I guess her latest is she's trying to, in the next round of, you know, pork barrel, whatever, she wants to repeal the limits on the amount of state tax you can deduct from your federal tax. And I'm thinking, who does that benefit? Well, it benefits people that, like, maybe own a big winery in California where you got lots of money and the taxes are high and you're paying a lot of state tax. Gee, does that sound like anybody we know? Yeah. You see, but here's the biggie. Remember at the State of the Union address when she tore up her copy of the president's speech, even though that was, of course, an official document, which she was legally required to deliver to the National Archives. But, hey, what was that about? See, if you look, I don't usually put a lot of pictures on the on my slideshow, but I put one on there today. It was the well-known picture of the mouse standing in front of the hawk who was coming down on him with talons extended, and the mouse was just giving the finger to the hawk. The last great act of defiance. Doesn't that seem like what Nancy Pelosi was doing when she tore up that speech? She was just giving the finger to somebody who she knew had beaten her. And now she can take what victories she has had and she can, you know, proceed to ride off into the sunset and do it. Okay, so I'm totally crazy, right? I don't know. That's just what it is. So I'm getting down toward the end of the show here. So once again, I tap into the truth coming up in just about a half hour here on Blog Talk Radio. But talking about, I want to leave you with one closing thought here, something I saw. It was about the people who were complaining about how maybe the president and some Republicans, they seem to be more worried about the economy and rescuing that than people's lives. And we hear that. Is it worth it? Why, you know, to put people at risk to, you know, keep the economy from completely collapsing? And I saw something from Matt Walsh. He's a pretty well-known blogger. He used to write on Glenn Beck's site. Now he's got his own blog. But I really like what he wrote here, and it's what I'm going to leave you with. I absolutely hate how flippant people are about the economic concerns here. You're choosing money over people. No, you imbecile. We're worried about the people whose lives are being ruined. Argue that it's a price we're paying. Don't act like it's not a price at all.